So most of you have heard all the teachings already, numerous times. Heard them, read about them, you know, discovered them even. So one of the things that you've probably heard is that just to be here. And let go of trying. Those are pretty well-known teachings, don't you think? Just be here, let go of trying. You've probably heard that before. What comes to mind is what it's like to fly in an airplane once you've gotten to cruising speed. And I seem to remember, I don't know how old I was when I was on an airplane, and somebody asked me, how was it? And I said it was like being in a rattling box, standing still. You know? And even though you're going, I don't know, hundreds of miles an hour, I don't know how fast those things go. How fast do jets go? 500 miles an hour? Okay. So you're going 500 miles an hour, and it could feel like you're still, like you're not going anywhere. So my point is that we don't know, we don't even recognize forward motion. It can seem like we're still, or that we're present, but we don't know that we're actually in forward motion. So that's why people discovered stopping, or just sitting, also known as meditation. Because when you stop, eventually you can feel the forward motion, or you can become cognizant of what was unconscious. And that's really a lot of how one, you might say, learns to get out of the way. To stop trying, in other words. Is that how can you stop trying if you don't know you're trying? Or if you don't think you're trying? How can you let go if you don't know if you're holding on? That's the real koan. Everybody get the teachings are simplistic. I mean, they're profoundly simplistic. It's not complicated. And when you've tasted or glimpsed the vastness of your true nature, which I'd say all of you have, more than likely, even if you didn't know it, you probably have. I forgot what the second part of the sentence was. Sorry. Brain falls off the track occasionally. When you stop trying, you are in this moment fully. There's no more trying, there's just being. And as I was saying, you've all probably had a glimpse of that. And of course, when you're in that realm, there's no more identity functioning, even if it's just for a moment. It might just be a moment of freedom. And at that point, there's no explanation necessary, nothing to be figured out. There's no more future or past. There's profound peace and aliveness. So that's the end of trying. That's the end of seeking. The end of becoming. The end of separation. And that we can't really talk about. I mean, we can and we do, obviously, but we point at it. But when you're there, you know it. It's self-evident. The truth is self-evident. And so when we get together here, we have the permission to drop the projection. We have permission to let go of becoming somebody or being somebody or trying to achieve something. We have permission to do that. And I think often we actually need permission, maybe even forgiveness, because we've been so heavily conditioned to accomplish and achieve and be successful and, you know, get it right. To be good. To be approved of, and so forth. But in the realm of openness, there is no, that's gone, that's finished. That's the end of that. That doesn't function there. That's the human condition. So the key, and what I'm pointing at tonight, is how to make unconscious conscious, how to go from unconscious to conscious, how to realize the forward movement, the pushing or the pulling or the running or the whatever, the trying. And if you tune into your body, you'll feel it, if there's any there. You can feel it, you know? It can be like a grabbing or a... It's visceral. So that's why it's really often useful, I think, for we humans to sit, to stop, to actually decide... to schedule in some time just to be. Not to do anything, not to sit there and run through your laundry list, right? But just to drop everything, to let go, to completely let go. Leap off the cliff into the abyss. And find yourself flying in bliss. I was, a friend and I were at the beach recently. We were watching, we were out on the sort of cliffs near Funston, and, Fort Funston, and people were hang gliding and parasailing above us. And she was telling me how, and she was in the military, she had to jump out of an airplane, you know, like whatever, parachute thing. And how absolutely terrifying the thought of doing it was. I mean, I can't imagine it personally. But once she was out, she said it was exhilarating. So it's that leap of faith. right with all the fear and terror and dread, just leaping right into it. And that's how it is to fall into awareness often, to come home. So I would invite you to notice. Can you notice if there's any trying? And often it's in the mind, isn't it? So much of it's in the mind, the thinking. But then it gets into the body too. Becomes unconscious in the body, whether or not we think, or even if we're not aware of it, thinking-wise, it can be happening. It's programmed in. And for those of you who have practiced meditation or different sorts of martial art, you know that when you bring it, or healing practices, then you know that when you bring attention into your body, the energy goes there. Try it. Watch what happens when you put attention into somewhere in your body. You'll notice that area becomes more alive. Vibrant. So where we put our attention, energy goes there. And energy fundamentally is awareness. It's the closest thing to pure awareness. Pure awareness is completely everything. So when we drop completely identity, we're one with everything, so to speak. And then we can backtrack, you know, energy, emotion, physical sensations, thought, and so forth. It gets more and more solid. But even whatever we think of as solid is energy too. We know that from physics, atomic physics. It's all energy, space and energy. I love how mind-blowing it is. So my favorite teaching was what John Klein told me back when I first had the great pleasure of being with him personally. He said, just be this energy. Don't think about it. Eventually, it'll be permanent. Just be this energy. Don't think about it. And when we're this energy, everything is consumed in it, in the fire of it. All the karma, all the conditioning. All the unfulfilled human experiences. The good news, and you know this, you're already it. Home is built in. Our home ground of being is built right in. So there's nowhere to go. You're always here. Find out how to arrive. Not how to get there, how to arrive. And then I think movement and stopping will take on a profound meaning. Then you'll really deepen, continue to deepen into this vastness and the stillness. And it does it all by itself. We don't do it. As I like to say, the best we can do is find out how to get out of the way. And that's all I'm talking about, really. I like the Buddhist term, skillful means. That's a good term. Because they know you can't practice this stuff too. They knew that. So they called it skillful means. Right? It's how you utilize various technologies. Not whether you do. And you'll do whatever you need to do. You'll find your way. It's built in. We have a built-in compass. A built-in homing pigeon. Anyway, you've heard all this already. Right? So if you've heard it, you don't have to listen to this. Just be here. Just drop all the listening and the trying and thinking. Drop all of that. Just surrender. Ironically, it's not passive, and yet there's no one doing it. And until you get that, I can't explain it. Otherwise, it's some passive thing, you know? Do it to me. If I just can get zapped with enough Shakti. That's good. Okay, let's have our dialogue, right? So if you come up and we engage in the dialogue, we are podcasting these satsangs now. And thanks to Jason and Kenneth and others. And if you would prefer your dialogue not be available on the podcast, let us know and we will make sure it's not on there. Jim, come on up. Take your time.
Okay. I just basically came up to find out how I'm doing. I'm feeling like a tremendous amount of energy, and it's...
I can feel it.
You know, it's... times it's coming into my chest and in here, and...
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I think it was scaring me a little.
Okay. Well, get your feet on the ground. That's it. And just... good, I'm glad you're here. Okay, I'm glad you came up. Just feel your breath. Be with your breath a little bit. Just really stay in your body, because it's a lot's moving. That's good. Let the fear come up. Let it come. If it comes out as tears or whatever, that's fine. Let that happen. Letting go can be very scary. What are you noticing right now? What are you aware of right now?
I don't know, there's a lot of energy. I can still feel the... there's a sensation in here. There's... it's like...
in your sternum?
Yeah, it's kind of like... I don't know if this is what it is, but it feels like it's pain that... like grief that is kind of not really coming out.
Okay, so it may be a little, maybe it's not quite ready yet.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Just be real gentle with yourself, okay? Don't try to analyze it or figure it out, just that's it. That's better. Something's opening up in there and I can feel it. Just be real gentle with yourself. That's it, perfect.
Yeah, I feel like I'm maybe resisting something somewhere.
Okay, that's all
right.
You
know, like there's a fear of letting go.
I understand. But opening is happening also. And when I was saying be gentle with yourself, there was definitely an expansion happening. So just take it easy, okay? Let it happen in its own time.
Yeah, I can feel him trying to push something.
Good. That's what I was talking about tonight. That's all you need to do is just notice that sort of... And you're not doing that. That's just conditioned, that pushing. Just notice it. Good. That's it. Really good. The heart needs to be approached very gently. Delicate flower. And it's also very tough.
It's tough.
It's both, yeah.
I feel like I don't really... I'm just trying to cooperate, but I don't know what I'm doing here.
You're doing well. Stay up here. Just let it come. Just let it come.
It's not ready to come.
Even that is what's happening. So you just, that's what I mean. Just let whatever is happening right now.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not here to get something to happen.
I don't know, but that's what keeps coming up.
I know. That's why I mentioned it.
I know. I'm a good example.
Yeah. Well, everybody. We all have our own version of it.
It's kind of like, you know, I want to get... it's part of it. It's because this feeling is so, I don't know, it's so, I don't know the right word, unusual or kind of, it's like I'm trying to get through it, you know, get back to.
Just notice if you're avoiding it. If you're, yeah, if you're wanting to move beyond it, there. As soon as you can notice wanting to move beyond it, the heart begins to open. As they say, what we resist persists, or what we try to get away from persists too.
So this is like there's an example of not wanting, right?
That's right.
Yeah, I can feel
it. Exactly. But no blame. No blame or judgment. You're just noticing it. Just like I was saying, you notice the trying, see? There actually isn't a trier. There isn't somebody who's doing it. It's just programmed. It's conditioned. How are you feeling right now?
A little shaky, maybe.
Good.
That's good.
It's moving. Yeah. It's usually a sign, one of the signs for you that it's moving, and I feel like you're more open. So it feels like with you being here with you right now. There's been some movement of energy.
Okay. Yeah, that's basically what I wanted to kind of see, if I was letting it move or if it was. Felt like it was moving, but
I think it was.
Like a little.
I think it was. Felt like it when you came up.
Yeah, I just wanted a little support, I guess.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, thanks.
Absolutely, I'm glad you came up.
Okay, I guess I'll go sit down. Otherwise, I'd sit here all night.
Thanks. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Sharon.
Hi.
Take your time.
Thanks.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. I feel like it's like I am my heartbeat right now. It's beating so fast.
Take your time.
I have a lot of sadness in me right now. I went to go be with my family over the weekend because we recently found out that my mom is sick. And you know, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if everyone was going to kind of pretend that everything was fine. But we didn't, actually. And it was really nice. Everyone was very much openly talking about what was going on. I mean, I feel like I very much led the way in the crying of it all.
Good. These sorts of situations really bring us right into the moment very profoundly. And then when you have the resource that you do, that we really are cultivating here, if you will, that's really, then it's really a blessing.
I find that what I'm really challenged by right now is the balance between like talking about what's going on and being very realistic about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I just in my head, I guess I get tripped out that means like a bad outcome is going to happen. You know, if we're my mom's talking about planning her finances and, you know, wanting to get things settled or
mm-hmm.
I think those are very real important conversations to have. Mm-hmm. But I also, they freak me out to no end because it makes me think like somebody knows what's going on. Somebody knows how this is going to end.
Nobody knows what's going to happen. But the emotional movement that happens as a result of the possibilities is what needs to move, regardless of what happens. In fact, it's essential for that to move, otherwise it creates other problems. Right? So it's a real roller coaster between the sort of data, whatever that is, and then just the response to all the different possibilities. And you're very present right now. You're very right here. And that's the best you can do. You know, do all the research, do all the contingencies, whatever. You know, plan and organize accordingly. But if you can be really here, that's really what is going to facilitate whatever outcome happens. You're not pushing it away, see? You're really right. You're available for this. Thank goodness.
Yeah. I just want to stop judging my thoughts or feelings or, you know, so many people have been very kind, say, I'm so sorry to hear what's happening with your mom. I'm so sorry. And that's, while very kind to say, I wind up hearing like, you know, I'm sorry your mother's dying. Which is not what they're saying necessarily, right, but that's what I hear when somebody says to me, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I wind up thinking other people know what's going on more than I do. They have some answer.
Do they?
I mean, they can't.
That's right. Of course not. So there's some... It's bringing up the fear, isn't it? The possibility. The grief. Maybe even the anger.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay to be pissed off.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely have a ton of anger.
Yeah. Yeah, all of it.
Yeah.
So if you're really present like you are, then it all can just cycle through.
Yeah.
And it will. It really will. We're very deeply connected to our family, whether we know it or not, or like it or not, actually. Pretty poignant, these lives.
Mm-hmm.
Deeply, deeply connected. So notice if the judging is going on about what you're thinking or feeling. Just feel that and let that go. Or question them. Usually some emotion, that's just some emotional response to what's going on, right? How are you right now?
I mean, I'm okay. I'm sad. But
yeah,
I'm okay.
Of course. Of course. Thank goodness you can grieve now. That leaves your heart open. It just gets bigger. And bigger. And you cherish every moment you have with her still here.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Sharon. Take care.
Thanks.
I think, is Derek coming? Oh, he's coming. Are you going? Okay. Who's coming up? Oh, I don't know which was first. We got three. Lar, and then Katie and Doug. Okay. Oh, somebody behind you. Oh, it wasn't Katie. It was somebody else. I don't know. You guys figure it out.
Got a little bit of a theme going here tonight.
Okay.
I was in Chicago week before last, visiting my parents, my sister was in from Pennsylvania at the same time, which was really nice. But the kind of the thing that's going on is my father's got Alzheimer's and probably, you know, at that, I mean, he probably ought to be in a nursing home now. My mother's, you know, pretty fragile herself, but she insists on taking care of him by herself and it's working, but it's pretty tenuous. And
mm-hmm.
And he's lost weight. His base weight was somewhere around 150, and he's down to 116. So it's pretty clear he's got a cancer growing someplace. I find myself rooting for the cancer. You know, he's in no pain. Be a better way to go than having his mind rot till he can't feed himself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So during this trip, I talked to his doc, got clear that he also thinks that there's a cancer, that he doesn't think there's any point in looking for where it is, but doesn't feel certain that my mother's on that same page, because they only talk about it when my father's in the room and neither one of them feels comfortable. So I'd already talked to both of my sisters, and I know that they were on the same, had the same thought. So this time I was able to get my mother to sit down and talk about whether she would want him to be resuscitated if he had a heart attack or, other kind of event, and whether she was in agreement that didn't make sense to do any tests and look for things. And it was interesting. I thought she was going to be evasive, which is kind of her way of approaching difficult things, and she was to an extent, but I think for her she'd come to the same conclusions, and she was afraid that we were going to be angry with her for not wanting to do more. I just think there's a, being in the role of the kind of the decision maker, and deciding to withhold care just carries a whole burden that
mm-hmm.
the rest of us in the family don't experience in the
mm-hmm.
same way.
Mm-hmm.
So an incredibly heavy time.
Yeah.
And it was a wonderful visit.
Mm-hmm.
Got to set up with my sister, and it's almost like a pajama party. We stayed up till 2 o'clock one morning just talking. We maybe did that last in high school. I don't know that we'll ever get to do it again.
Right.
And it was it's just the love and the tenderness from the immediate family, but my brother-in-law was also in, and the way he was with Dad was just sweet. Last guy on the planet who'd want his behaviors described as sweet, but that's what they were. And the same with my kind of Chicago-based sister's husband, who's kind of an Asperger's kind of guy, and so expressions of affection are not easy for him. But he made them. It was.
How are you doing right now?
I'm sad, and I'm grateful. And I'm kind of profoundly amazed at the conflicting emotions that all exist comfortably inside. I feel okay with it all, you know. Just really, really sad. He's
yeah, right now. Right now. Right there. That's it. Fully here right now. Good. Yeah.
I hear it called a heart mind, but I think for me it's a heart belly.
Let yourself be right now.
When I'm there, I'm a caretaker in the family. You know, I kind of has been my role in some ways for decades to kind of be a container for the emotional stuff that's going on and bring sanity to the situation. And I do it really well. Made a profession of it. But particularly when it's the family and those the strength of those ties, like I just got to get away and
take care of you,
get whole again.
That's what just happened. I keep returning to that vast resource or it's all moving. Because when you arrive here, which you did, then all the pain of it will expand out. Mm-hmm. And you're very familiar with that. Let that keep happening.
Just need to talk about it.
Oh yeah, of course.
Because it's hard to know when I'm feeling all right, whether I'm feeling all right because I'm numbing out, or whether I'm feeling all right because I'm letting it go.
Exactly. That's what I was talking about before. Exactly. Sometimes we don't know.
Yeah.
Until we find out. That's it, right there.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's it. That's when you're really allowing it to move and you're not numbing out. Okay? That's right now. That's the direction you're moving. I'm just giving you feedback because it's happening.
Yeah. I can feel it.
Good. So that's proof. That's the value of the mirror that we have set up here.
Okay, John.
Yeah, good. Doug, are you? I can't hear you. You want to? Was it an imaginary? Someone else? I think Derek had to leave or something, so I think we thought he was coming out.
Sorry.
No, no problem.
Been on acid for like 3 weeks.
Quote unquote, right?
Yeah.
just want to clarify that for the audience. I understand.
Yeah.
Get used to it.
Yeah, I mean, today has been like a pretty sort of bugged out kind of day, so.
That's why most of the people in the 60s started getting into meditation, because they wanted to be high without having to drop acid.
Mm.
It's true. They were all hippies, most of them. Either that or beatniks.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, so
I've talked to you a couple of times recently about this sort of like maybe a catch, like an energy, sort of felt like a stuckness maybe in my solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of shifted down sort of in here. It feels like just something grabbing hold of my gut. Just kind of right in here.
Yeah, stay. Let it keep riding it.
Yeah, you had mentioned earlier sort of putting attention into your body and sort of the energy tends to go there. I've felt that doing that, it tends to sort of clench tighter.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah.
And it's like I feel like, actually you were talking about sort of like moving and sitting still and then realizing you're moving. Or something. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like I'm in like a car that's going like 90 miles an hour.
Oh, I totally understand that. Yeah,
totally. And it's like this right here that's like trying to hang on.
Just be aware. So just stay right where there's clenching. And when I say stay there, I don't mean do anything.
Okay.
I mean just be like a cat at a mouse hole, waiting.
Mm.
Very relaxed, but very attentive. That's it, right there. Do you feel it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I do.
That's exactly it. See, your whole body is getting brighter now.
Yeah.
Good. See, it does it by itself. We get out of the way, but we stay present, because if we're not present, the habit will keep clenching, probably.
Yeah, I mean,
so the awareness,
a lot of trying to do.
The awareness facilitates the habit from not kicking in the same way.
I'm not sure I quite got that.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll say it another way. If you're bringing awareness to where there's the clenching, the clenching is some kind of habit that's not conscious.
Yeah, okay.
So the awareness, when it goes there, it's not trying to fix it or figure it out, because it can't. But somehow by bringing that other element in there, that can shift in a way that it probably wouldn't otherwise. It might, but... These things are meant to get our attention. That's why they have sensation. That's why we have feelings and sensations, so that we'll pay attention. Otherwise, why would we have them? What would be the point? This system is a miraculous system that we're walking around in. Totally, unbelievably miraculous. I mean, and we know what's going on? Come on. Give me a break. People think they know what's going on? It's insanity. It's just the desire for security is what that is. That's all that is. But we don't know what's going on. Good, right there, good. See, then you start flying, you start riding the wave. You're on the surfboard, you're on the wave. Just ride it.
Yeah.
That's our job, to live. That's what living is, to ride the wave, whatever that wave is.
Yeah, I think I keep finding myself wanting to catch a particular wave. So.
Yeah, the good one.
Yeah, right.
What do they call those when they've got that tunnel or something?
Oh, the curl?
Pipeline. Oh, pipeline. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Got that one out of Pacifica, right? Or Half Moon Bay. That giant one. So then you can notice wanting to have the certain replay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are no replays in this game. Anything that we think is a replay is a projection onto what is. There's no possibility of a replay. It's not possible. It's all new.
Hmm.
Every moment. Completely. Good. See, that's it. That's what radiant perception is, enlightened perception is everything's new every moment. It's not a belief. It's not an attitude.
It's still something that thinks I can figure it out, though. Have it, you know.
Figure what out? The universe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, our minds like to figure things out. That's part of our brain. Our brain, that's what it does. It analyzes and figures things out. It does do that. And it comes up with some cool stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about so-called arriving home, being liberated, that's not the realm of figuring it out. we leave figuring out behind. Way behind. In fact, it doesn't even exist. Just functional.
Yeah, there's something that's still trying here for sure.
Okay.
But I'm getting the sense that, you know.
Well, that's what you want to, you know, that's what you want to pay attention to, because that's an energy wanting to move.
Mm-hmm.
Any discomfort or unsettledness is energy wanting to move. And most people run with it. They're like knee jerk. It's called compulsion.
Mm-hmm.
There's every manner of compulsion. But when you show up here, some party is ready to wake up. Something is ready to really be seen fully. It may not be very pleasant for a while or at times. Or it could be a range.
I feel like I don't have a choice, actually. Like ready or not.
That's good. That's actually an asset.
Because I actually feel like I, you know, am not ready. But
the ego is never ready. Mm-hmm. People think their ego is going to get ready, or it's supposed to get a little better or something.
I'd settle for a little better, yeah.
The best ego, I think the best ego does is hit bottom. You go, fuck, I can't do this. You know, it's like, it realizes it can't do it. That's actually good. Then I can break down and cry and wail and everything else and let it move. Often limitation is the greatest gift for transformation. When you have no choice, freedom is possible. Because freedom is right here. There is nobody, there's no more choice. Because there's no one who chooses, it's just not about that anymore. It's the end of that. It's confusing to the mind to listen to this, try to figure it out. You can't do that. If you're trying to figure this out, I wish you good luck, but ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
If you're listening from awareness, it all makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the key here, being here at Satsang, is listen from awareness. Otherwise, just drop the mind. Get out of the way. Good.
Yeah, better. Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's a little bit of a relaxation there.
Yeah, you're letting it be and it's moving, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
You're really welcome, Doug. Good to see you. Thanks for coming up. Well, we're almost cruising in for a so-called landing, but got a little time left where we can sit together in some more silence. And first I'll make a few announcements, get those done. Sometimes the bell rings itself, I don't know. You know, before I do the announcements, I just want to say that it can be very deceptive how simple it is to be in this environment. Kind of, you know, it's kind of scaled down. You know what I mean? It's like a scaled down environment, very bare bones. And yet, if you're listening deeply, there's a power here and an energy that's very palpable and transformative and healing and evocative. You know, it can evoke all kinds of things in the body and the mind and the heart. And so I really want to thank you for being here, for being here. I mean that very deeply. I mean, I'm happy to see you too. But I mean, thank you for being here, because that's what's working. And you're all letting that happen in your own way, whether you realize that or not right now. And I'm really cognizant of the synergy of our being together and the power that it creates and for the individuals who come up, but also for people who aren't coming up. And so I really appreciate you being here and listening so deeply, you know, and really allowing the space to become as awesome as it is. And you find yourself wherever you are right now, which may be in a struggle or may be in bliss or something in between. You know? I really want to tell you how grateful I am to be with you and to share this time together. So I want to start by thanking all the volunteers who do such a great job in helping us here, Mark and Kenton and Coulter and Kenneth and Jason and whoever else has been helping, Damien and Tracy and Chris. Our retreat in... at Santa Sabina has a couple of spaces available. So that retreat is a silent retreat up in Marin, beautiful retreat center, and the dates are April 29th to May 2nd. So if you're interested in possibly attending that retreat, you can get information and sign up through our website if you're interested. It's a really wonderful, wonderful place to be on retreat and pretty powerful too. So let's see, our satsang schedule here and in Santa Cruz and our newsletter email sign up, teachings, podcasts of satsangs, video interviews are on our website, www.sf-satsang.org. So all of that is there. And I believe we're here next week. Is that right? Forgot to check. Okay. And the Santa Cruz Satsang is the second Saturday of the month. Again, information is on the website. Well, there's no charge for being here, but as you, most of you know, we ask for a donation, suggest $10, which pays our rent and also supports me. So I want to thank you for your donations. And if you didn't get a chance to make a donation earlier, there's a basket on the table. And I think Greg will be wandering around afterwards. Just, you can just see him and pop your donation in there. So thank you so much for that. I think I mentioned that the email. Oh, there's also an email sign up on the back table if you would prefer to do it that way rather than the website sign up. And if you're able to help with the chairs, we put the chairs on piles of five, on stacks of five on each wall on sidewalls, and if you're able to help carry your chairs afterwards, appreciate that. And the last thing is that I'm available in private practice for those who may want to meet with me one-on-one, and if you're interested in that, you can contact me through the website. So feel free to hang out afterwards and visit with friends or make new friends, and why don't we sit a few more minutes just in silence, and I'll hit the bell at the end. Happy trails.